listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Brace yourself, I'll take you on a trip down memory lane. This is not a rap on how I'm slinging crack or move cocaine. This is cul-de-sac and Prinny, cognac and major pain. Not the drill sergeant, but the stress is weighing on your brain. It was me, Elbooks, and yang, yang, yang. YG Lucky riding down the Rosecrans. If you ugly, waving your hands out the window, check yourself. Warriors and Conan's hope euphoria can slow dance with society. The driver's seat, the first one to get killed. Seen a light-skinned nigga with his brains thrown out. At the same burger stand with Beep hang out. Now that is not a tape recorder saying that he did it, but ever since that day I was looking at him different. That was back when I was nine. Joey packed a nine. Pakistan at every porch is fine. We adapt a crime. Pack a van with four guns at a time with the sliding door. Fuck is up. Fuck you shooting for if you ain't walking up, you fucking punk. Picking up the fucking pump. Picking off you sucker, sucker, dick, a dot, a sucker punch, a wall of bullets coming from AKs, AR, AR, duck. That's what mama said when we was eating that free lunch. Oh, that's my shit. Oh man, goddamn, all hell broke loose. You killed my cousin back in 94. Fuck your truce. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Saturday, which means it's feedback time, y'all. Let's just start with what everybody wants to hear, okay? For our two tickets to NegroCon, this is what I figure we'll do. We can just have a raffle, okay? I don't feel like setting up an auction on eBay. I don't feel like it's too much work. But here's the important part, because I cannot stress this more. We want to give it to two people who are going to come. So don't just put your name in the hat just on some bullshit. Like, really do plan on being there. Like, we want to give you two tickets so you can attend. It's in Washington D.C. at RFD is the name of
the venue.
Yeah, and let me just give y'all the date one more time. But it's like 3 weeks from now on a Saturday from 6 to 10 or something like that. Like, we want you to come, we want you to be there. Yeah, 6 p.m. June 17, 2017. It's about 3 weeks away. We want you to be there, but we need you to know, like, we no bullshit, okay? So the way we'll do it is I'll make a post in the Facebook group for the people there, but you can email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. We'll probably take entries for a couple days, like, and basically by this time next Saturday we'll be giving the tickets away, okay? So next Saturday we're gonna pull the name out of the hat, or, you know, whatever, we'll sign numbers or something, and that's how we'll do it, guys. So you know, we'll keep track of it.
Yeah, like Roger said, if you know that you're not gonna come, please don't waste our time.
Yeah, nothing's gonna piss me off more than somebody winning these tickets and not showing up. Like, real talk, because there's so many people that want to be there,
right?
So yeah, you can email us theblackouttips@gmail.com and get your name in the hat. And like I said, I'll if I remember, I'll put something in the Facebook group. If not, if you're hearing this, like I said, hit us up on theblackouttips@gmail.com and we'll put your name in the hat and we'll figure it out, okay? And we will need your phone number, I think, because the person that originally bought the tickets will basically text the tickets to you. So that's how we're gonna handle it. All right, so this is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews, and if we like them, we'll read them on the air. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball,
a bullet ball extreme, okay? And we're pulling double duty today, guys. We're gonna do this show, then Jess is gonna come through at 3 p.m and we're gonna do Balls D Sports for all the premium people.
Premium people been winning this week. You got a Pirates review, you got a Baywatch review. Y'all been getting the reviews
for sport movie reviews. That's correct. So, and everything should be working with the feed and everything. Mm-hmm. Everything with the site should be working. So everybody should be good to go now. Of course, there's also people that take the time out of their busy schedule to hook up the show. Okay. Y'all don't have to, but y'all do it anyway because y'all love us and appreciate us being here. You don't even get anything for it, to be honest. The only thing you get is a shout out. You know,
and we thank you.
Yeah, and then we're gonna read all the feedback too. The people that left messages on theblackouttips.com, people that left 5-star reviews on iTunes and getting on Stitcher this week, the people who leave voicemails. We're gonna play their voicemails if they're 3 minutes or less. Some of y'all get a little wordy sometimes, and then we'll check out the emails as well. So we got a lot of stuff going on here is what I'm trying to say, guys, and we're gonna try to get to all of it and enough time for us to be out of here and get prepared to do Balls Deep Sports with Justin. All right, so no further delay. Well, actually a little bit more further delay. I gotta wait on this playlist to load, but I'm gonna play the songs for the song for the collection plate. Okay, it's coming up and it's moving slow. And it's freezing.
Choir trying to gather themselves together, y'all. While the choir, yeah, the choir, that's the choir got themselves together over there.
Yeah,
okay.
We good.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, and it's time to give thanks to the bank account. We got a one-time donation from Anna H, who says, I hope Karen can use this to help expedite her passport. I just went through the same thing and about lost my shit too. If they don't say you need an appointment, what the fuck? Love the show. Hope you have an amazing trip.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, it's too late to rush it, but thank you. Well, she'll probably use it for drinks, you know.
Yeah, drinks on you. Thank you, baby.
Renate M, a recurring donator. Thank you so much, Renate. Mm-hmm. Anthony Van D, recurring donator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Olivia from Chicago, you know, film_esque.
Mm-hmm.
Pete B, recurring donator. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
One-time donation from Deborah F. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah.
Oh, wait, that might have been recurring. And then one-time donation from Cavis D, who says, damn, this podcast made me lose my humorless liberal card. Shaking my head. Well, I'm sorry, buddy. You can always get it back. Just be real uptight. Stop listening to us. Talk shit about us on social media. If it happens.
Hey, they'll be more than happy to welcome you back in the club.
They made a joke. How dare thee?
How dare thee make me laugh?
Mm-hmm. Rita May C, recurring donator. Thank you, Rita May.
Thank you, Rita May.
Bomani Jones, host of the Noon Sports Center, coming in January.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that some shit, y'all? Started from the bottom. Now we here. Nick Z, recurring donator. Thank Nick.
Thank you.
Monica B, recurring donator. Appreciate you, Monica. Annie P, recurring donator. Thank you, Annie. And she's a brand new recurring donator.
Yeah,
so
I know her, Annie.
Yeah, Annie, are you okay to join the new members class?
I know. Going over there, comrade.
Adam S, recurring donator. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Katie G, recurring donator. We appreciate you. Jason J, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm.
One-time donation from Risha C. Thank you, Risha.
Thank you.
We also got a recurring donation from Nerds in Luxury, those luxurious nerds.
Mm-hmm. They've been hanging around with us for a while.
Yep. Justin J, recurring donator. Candace H, recurring donator. Thank you, Candace.
Thank you, Candace.
Asia D, yes. Asia D, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm.
Latanya D, recurring donator. Damn, there's a lot this week. Chriselle M, recurring donator. Thank you, Chriselle.
Thank you.
Early Days of Photography was a recurring donator. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole F, recurring with that donation. Marvin B, yes. Marvin B, recurring donator. And that's everybody. Woo, y'all came through, guys.
Yes, thanks for putting it in the collection plate.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all keep the lights on.
So all right, let's get into it. Oh, we already get NegroCon applications, so cool. All right, let's play me out.
You look so much better when you You look so much better when you
and why you praying.
You look so much better when you
look in the mirror.
You look so much better when you
always remember.
And you look so much better when you smile. I can't explain. Fell from heaven like a shower.
Difficulty.
All right.
Yes, and I think you got an email address, but just in case.
TheBlackGowlTips@gmail.com.
Thank you.
All right, 5-star reviews. Got a few on iTunes. Laughing in My Cubicle from exclamation point Sugar Pop 1! ! I wouldn't be able to get through my work week without y'all. Love Karen's laugh and the way she is pinky to Rod's brain. Only 80% of babies, only 80s babies would get that. That's correct.
Yep.
Narf, I say. All men need to take lessons from Rod on how to treat your lady. Flowers just to make the girls at work jealous. He knows just how to make a woman's day. I can't afford premium right now, so consider my my donation to the church. Until next time, love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will definitely take that in light of money, because we need these reviews to make the girl go round too.
Yeah, we do. And for those of you who got a man, you need a woman that could do both, just send him a text out the blue and tell him he's sexy. Out the blue. Yes, I did.
Oh, you did send me that this morning.
Mm-hmm. For no rhyme or reason.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an accident. I said, she's texting her other man?
Nope.
On the, she must have, I was about to send, did you mean to tweet this, send this text to, your secret man?
Nope.
Well, I thank you.
You're welcome. Get a woman that can do both.
Love it. Five star. You know, I don't just do all this folding clothes and stuff around here for nothing.
I clear you don't. Honey, I'm thankful for you.
Love it. Five stars. Afro Divalicious says, I love listening to Karen and her husband, Rod. The show is funny, entertaining, and insightful. Keep it up. Thank you. We will.
Thank you.
And if you guys want bonus Karen, she was just on Movie Trailer Reviews podcast in Sandy Check. So she was a guest by herself over there with Chris.
I had a great time with Chris.
Thanks, Mel, for Juvenile. Rich 4422 says, five stars. Rod and Karen, thanks for inviting Mel on the show. I was hoping Mel could have gone further with her back that ass up intro. Fantastic show as always. Peace, Rich. Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, we love Mel.
We do. Cinco Estrellas. I think that's Spanish for five stars. Perfect Cipher says, love this podcast, makes me laugh all the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are trying to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a goal, to make people laugh. It's hard to do in this world today.
Ah, clear it is.
So that's our five star reviews for today. Appreciate everybody taking the time out to leave them. If you're not in the continental United States, if you're not in the United States, let us know, because you can still leave a five-star review, but we won't get to see it unless you let us know what country to go look up. So
right. This includes Canada and Mexico. I know we front to back to front, but they like, nah, B.
Right. So, all right, let's check out the comments on the website, theblackouttips.com. For each episode, we have a post on the website. You can log on. You can leave comments and let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, our feedback show was 1449. Slavery is bad. I didn't think it was a controversial thing to say, but
me either, but apparently it is.
Apparently in these days, you gotta come right out and say it. Think Pretty Smart says, according to the article below, his lying ass dead daddy is also named Cleon. Oh, so we're talking about Cleon, the police officer who said he didn't know he was black, and told him that he had Indian in his family. And Cop Cleon only checked his DNA because his daughter had an illness that blacks typically have. I'm assuming she was diagnosed with the sugar.
Oh, sickle cell.
She was lactose intolerant. Also, I'm pretty sure that before he reviewed his blackness, his coworkers and maybe him said racist crap, and Cleon just laughed it off. It sounds like that kind of workplace, to be honest. Yep, they're from Michigan, so I can imagine his daddy was one of the many we have who were and continue to pass. Cleon, the son and daddy, knew their white was cut with some Negro, like crack is cut with baking soda. Lenore said, probably sickle cell. I believe T-Bob spoke about how it's more common for black people. Mm-hmm. Anonymous says, reviews have been revealed. What is this for? Oh, Anonymous left a comment replying to Think Pretty Smart that says review should have been shared revealed instead of reviewed, his blackness. Lenore 312 left comments. She said, hey Rod, hey Karen, that Tizon article made my stomach, made me scrunch my face up like Waka Flocka, okay, mean. I regularly forget that Tizon was Filipino as I was reading. It was definitely like white retroactive remorse. Here's the thing about the culture that made me scrunch my face up. Filipino folks kept saying, it's very disrespectful in our culture to go against your parents. He was just doing what was normal. Every culture has fucked up stuff that is normalized because of culture or tradition.
Come on.
That parent thing could apply to any culture that isn't white. So when Filipino people are defending their culture, it's an odd battle because either way, it was slavery. He knew it was slavery by the time he was an adult. He knew his mother was mistreating her. He knew he had she had family back home. He knew his family lied about her status in the home. His mother was sick. Was still cognizant enough to go home. He didn't hire a caregiver. He let his mother keep her slave. He underpaid her to assuage his own guilt, quote, just like that I had a slave, when she didn't want to leave his home after his mother died. He's an adult who knew she was enslaved and did the bare minimum to say he quote unquote tried,
right?
And excuse my cats, but he put her ashes in a motherfucking shoebox, but wants to say she was like a mother to him and his kids. Sorry, but he don't get sympathy for being a product of his culture. All of our cultures have fucked up things normalized. Hell, black people normalize beating kids, another act from slavery. Just because it's normalized in your culture doesn't make it okay. Just like in TBGWT culture, you, Rod, are trying to normalize those white people music covers. Stop it, Rod. Love y'all. Lenore 312. Let me tell you something, Lenore 312. I'm not trying to normalize those white people music covers. What I'm trying to normalize is how to eat Kit Kats, okay? Keep up! You gotta stay on your toes, stay on top of my agendas. Okay, so she replied later. Is this the same day? 3 days later, she replied. Okay, so I calmed down a bit. I listened to Code Switch with Gene Demby, and they had Alex's wife on. There's a little more effort revealed, but it's still effed up. A serious self-realized apology is needed, and that didn't happen. And can't from Alex Tizon, but the siblings are still here, and they need to make a motherfucking statement. You can't fall back on victimhood because people on the internet are angry at you for being a slaveholder, culturally normalized or not. Yeah, that's the thing. People love to be like, but now you guys didn't like what I had to say, so it's like I'm really the victim here, which is kind of fucked up. And one more comment. Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, I am from Cleveland, northeastern Ohio, and we are covered a lot in stories. I often call Ohio the most northern southern state. The Underground Railroad might have stopped through here, but above ground most certainly was racist. And the poll was, the simple one, is slavery bad? Yes or no? 2% of people said no. Slavery is not bad. I'm assuming they own slaves. Let's check that house. 98% say yes. It is bad for 98%. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, slavery is bad always, even if it's on some revenge for enslaving my ancestors shit. Never, ever good. Mm-mm. Yeah, I just hate to be controversial like that. Just gotta go on. I just gotta go on board on the record of saying slavery is just not my cup of tea. You know? I hate to offend anybody with that hot take, but just mark me down for anti-slavery, I guess. We got episode 1450. God says throw bricks at white men. This is the episode we have Mel, aka Beauty Jackson, on the show.
Yes.
As always, a great episode and a great guest. Anne says, Rye, here's a picture of the principal of the high school that suspended the honor roll student for wearing the off-shoulder blouse. Just saying. Yeah, I think I said during the show that I had already seen that picture. But yeah, I saw it. White woman wearing a shoulderless shirt, by the way. C6 said, I scrolled down and they have a black woman assistant principal. How much do you think she hates her job? Also, she has a doctorate, but none of the other administrators do. She has a doctorate, yet somehow she's not the principal.
Come on. She's not the principal.
Interesting.
Right. Education don't mean nothing.
Kung Fucius, my man at @Black_Dante says, it was weird to see dudes who used to be ashy, who have rebranded themselves as allies and pro-feminism leaning black men, go full white man as usual and pretend how LeVar Ball acted towards Leahy wasn't sexist or at the very least disrespectful, while black women on the timeline are saying his behavior feels sexist. Hey man, that nigga has somehow become a lot of niggas like hero. To some extent, right. And I think that is extremely foolish.
Because he's everything that they want to be. Like, he loud, boisterous, just, and a lot of these niggas wouldn't dare do that shit in real life. Like, they're like, well, I can't go out here and do it, but I can, you know, root for him root for him vicariously through the internet.
The reason I think it's dangerous is because he's a person that will say and do anything in a short term to get attention.
Right.
And I think it's just as bad as being, it's just stupid. He's not loyal to any principle. So you're going to end up defending some indefensible shit because he's not above anything. Like, I could see him, like, people will, you know, people are all on that. He's not disrespecting her. She talked about his kids, man, his fatherhood. And then you see, like, within the next couple, I think Mel mentioned on the show, he's talking about Kyrie Irving not having a mother in his life. His mom died when Kyrie was 4. You know, it's shit like that where it's like, and I didn't see nearly the people defending that comment or coming out trying to support that shit or leave his fatherhood alone. I didn't see any of that. One, because he was talking about a black man.
Mm-hmm.
People saw the target as Kyrie Irving. But he's just a person you can't, I don't know why people get so, and I continue to say this, I'll be consistent on this, I don't see why he should be the needle that moves any conversation. He's not an important person. He doesn't think things through. So y'all can hero worship his ass if y'all want, but I refuse to let him make me mad, and I refuse to support that dude as well. Max says, how did y'all do that whole segment on the Texas law and not do a read for your promo for Adam and Eve? Get your coins, player. Yeah, he's talking about the dildo law. Whitley F. Brooks says, now I will not stand for this repeated slander of D'Angelo. I will not let the white people have him, and to let him ruin the sexiest of the sexy songs cries internally. How does it feel?
Not good.
Monica says, so great to hear Mel every time she's on the podcast. EVE says, what they are doing to that honor student is ridiculous. From the sound of it, she tried to come for this girl before, but the mother intervened and has been looking for a reason ever since. I have a girlfriend who was a vice principal at her school, where most of the other administrators and the principal are white, and she said that their first response when a kid steps out of line in the slightest is to call the police. The only other black administrator is a black guy who is that school's version of Ben Carson because he co-signs with all the racist policies. She says, when they have the slightest problem with a kid, they do everything in their power to get them kicked out. My friend hates her job and is applying for another one. So I believe this young lady that the principal sounds like she's been waiting. It's sad that young black girls are being subjected to this mess about what to wear and how they style their hair. Yet we still managed to succeed and do great things. That's why they hate us. Black girl magic, hoping things work out for that young lady. Who knows what life would be like if people actually supported these young black kids from jump.
They would do great things.
Because, you know, black women are already so, they're just overachieving. You know, whether it's school and starting their own businesses and shit like that. And yet somehow it's been a fight their whole lives, a lot of cases, just to get there.
Yeah, and the thing about black women that, I'm going to tell you the truth, think about black women that make us so marvelous and so outstanding is that from the time we're born, we're kind of in a deficit, even within our own race. And through it all, we strive, we shine, we continue to move on. A lot of us have a lot of struggles in various different things, from the texture of our hair, to our skin tone, to our weight. You name it, we've been criticized about it, from our voices, you know, to our noses. Everything about us has been constantly criticized. And you know, you go through that, and then for a lot of women, and some still struggling through this, you get to the point where you get that self-confidence. And once you a black woman and you get self-confidence, that's something that nobody can take from you. And that's why that's something that everybody wants to beat out of you. A strong black woman, literally a strong black woman, like internally strong, that ain't here for your bullshit. They're not here for nothing less than the best. They're not going to deal with just anything. They're not going to lower their standards. They're reaching for the stars and reaching from the sky, and they are shaking off anything that's going to hold them from their dreams. And a lot of these women do it with children, and a lot of these women do it as single parents, and a lot of these women do it ain't shit daddies, and a lot of these women do it through food stamps, and a lot of these women do it through various different situations. They still rise. And it's one of the things where, you know, even through it all, we still are the most educated group of people in this country. And it's one of those things where instead of people recognizing us and praising us for our abilities and our capabilities and the things that we have done, regardless of how the world treats us and regardless of how our men treat us and regardless of how the society treats us, you know, we don't get any pats on the back. We don't get any, you know, you're doing good. And that's why people don't understand why black women love black women, you know, because honestly, we all we got. I'm gonna keep it real. People don't want to believe that, but for black women, we are literally all we got. We're gonna root each other on. We're gonna cheer each other on. We're gonna be like, you go girl. We're gonna be like, you look fine. We're gonna like we are our own cheering section. And that means a lot. And it's one of the things where people cheer for people when they know the struggles and the things and the plights that they've been through. And I think, and in my opinion, it's sad when you look at society and you go, look at all the things that these black women been through, and a lot of them will never be recognized for their work and their accomplishments in their workplace or at home, and a lot of times, and sometimes even through their children. So that's why you have to learn how to love yourself and say, despite all, I am going to love myself and know that I'm better.
Yep. It's a miracle almost, you know, like that whole black girl magic thing, like that's real, because you have to fight just to graduate. And she didn't do anything wrong, a shirt, and now a school thinks that's reasonable to be like, well, now you can't graduate because you wore a shirt a month before graduation. All right so we did have a poll. Zero tolerance policies in school, I'm in favor of them or not a fan. Once again, 2%, one person was, I'm in favor of it. Must be the same person that likes slavery.
We need to send somebody to your house.
98% say not a fan. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, like the death policy, I would be in favor of zero tolerance policies in schools if it was guaranteed that the student being punished was the right student and that the system wasn't inherently biased against the poor, uneducated, and people of color. Zero tolerance policies in school also fail to take into account circumstances. For example, your school may have a zero tolerance policy against fighting, but what led up to the fight? Maybe the kid didn't get mollywopped on, was whispering death threats, or passing around naked pictures of that kid's mom on his phone. You just don't know. Well, also the thing I hate about zero tolerance policy with fights is that often if I try to defend myself, I'm also treated as the aggressor in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's as if it doesn't matter. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, there's a difference between I have to protect myself from getting my ass whooped and I just walked in and pushed the kid down and took his lunch. Come on.
Yeah, the problem that I have with the zero tolerance policies is fucking laziness. That's all it is. I hate them because they're goddamn lazy. Zero tolerance policies are laziness. You don't want to look through. You don't want to decipher. You don't want to use any critical thinking skills. And the thing about it, also another reason why I hate zero tolerance policies mm-hmm. is like the person that wrote in said, they're not applied equally. If white people got the same zero tolerance that we did, it wouldn't be a problem, but that does not happen. Brown people get suspended at a much higher rate. White people do the same goddamn things we do, but for some reason they find a way to go around the system and not implement the zero tolerance policy.
Episode 1451, exhausted by whiteness. We had several comments. 83 says, I'm so sick of these motherfucking white people policing our baby's beautiful hair. I had hair hate for most of my life because of being predominantly white spaces. To be real, at 33, I still have it some days when I go into work. I worry that my afro will be seen as messy or unkempt. When I go out today and see all these beautiful brown women and girls with their natural hair, it makes me smile so hard. Our hair is beautiful and free, and seeing young girls embrace their hair makes my heart smile. Also, props to these young, woke-ass kids. I was listening to another podcast about the situation at Monteverde Academy. They have suspended these girls, and they have missed out on numerous senior events because they refuse to change their hair. They are at the point that they are risking expulsion. The 17-year-old, I was not woke enough or brave enough to lose out on my senior events for principal. Anyway, love y'all. Keep up the good work. Yeah, those kids, wow, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and people can say what they want to say about young people, this is their revolution. You know, every generation has different forms of revolution. This is their form of revolution. This is their form of civil rights. Like they're facing a lot of shit that a lot of us, I don't know how I would have responded at 17, 18 years old or in my 20s if this stuff would have happened, you know, when we were younger. I can't tell you how I would. I wish I would have been this bold. I wish I would have been this brave, but the average person is not.
Yep. She also wrote back in, or they wrote back in, sorry, I am back again to correct my previous post. The story with the two girls is not Monteverde Academy, though this school had the same natural hair bullshit happen also. It was actually Mystic Valley Regional Charter School. Also, these girls have white parents who are fully supporting them and fighting the school policy. These parents have supported their children and told the children they will continue to fight the policy even if their children decided to change their hair. That's dope, man. Because I think a lot of parents in that kind of situation, you almost would have a hard time being like, I know this is going to hurt your education and possibly your future, and it's a principled stance, but my job as a parent is to also make sure that you get your education and your future. It's like, I know it's a catch 22 for a parent, because you almost, in a lot of cases, you almost could see them being like, man, just go to school. Like, I know my parents probably been like, man, just cut that shit off, go to school, fuck these people. But
the average parent,
but you just need to, you know. So it's cool that those parents are very supportive. They do deserve props. Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, shame on the nigga was my favorite Wu-Tang song. Damn, was so you done with it after that white boy got done with it?
Can you blame him?
D Ramsey PH Dunn says, as always, five stars. When I saw Paul Mooney's afro, I hollered. That was the show art. She also said, this just posted on Yahoo, it is now legal for Alabama to remove Confederate monuments.
Mm-hmm. They passed a state law.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can't move any of them.
Because Mississippi was the one that did it just like last week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And they know that that's the trend. So a lot of states are getting in front of it where they're passing laws that say you can't pass laws to tear the shit down. So basically you're saying you're racist.
But we need to get over slavery, guys. Right? Why are we holding on to old stuff? Why can't we just, is this the slave people that own slaves not alive no more? So we need to make sure we maintain their monuments so nobody can take them down. Monica says, it's so upsetting to keep seeing story after story of young girls being sanctioned in their own schools where they're supposed to be safe and protected from wearing hair the way it comes out of their head. The racism is so blatant. I've learned a lot in recent years about how black women's hair is policed at their workspaces, and I share that knowledge with my friends because I just didn't know before. To see it start so young, that's violence. I've seen so many beautiful black boys and girls with big afros in the streets of New York City recently, and it makes me so happy. I try not to patronize because I check myself on that level, but internally I'm always like whispering, you're beautiful. I want every child to know they are. I'm a brown Latina and I grew up with a pretty racist anti-black family. Even as a kid, if I felt less than because I was darker than all my cousins. So I was not down with anti-blackness. As an adult, I get so angry still at how much my mom and them tried to teach me black people couldn't be physically attractive. I always took it personally. I will never stand for that, especially when it's said about children. Yeah, man, it's a shame, like, what white supremacy has done to people, and the head trip is done, because even other cultures can participate in anti-blackness.
Yeah, even other brown people, right?
Yeah, like, other, you don't have to be white. Black people right. Do it. Black people do it to ourselves sometimes.
Yes, we do.
Japanese men only Allen. Nothing to see here, or down low retreat. I think it's a download retreat.
Me too.
Honest, y'all. The rules seemed a little weird. No technology, no pictures. Come on now. Download retreat. 80% of y'all agree with us. 20% say nothing to see here. Just men hanging out in the island.
Mm-mm.
Having fun. And
what is they doing on this island? Long cloths.
They just hanging out, Karen. Okay.
Wrapped up in sheets. I don't think so.
We had episode 1452. Oh, now Selma gets it. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, Selma can sit in the corner picking boogers from all the guys that think just like her. RWH 2016 says, hey Ryder, Karen, I rarely watch shows on ABC, NBC, Fox, or CBS. Most of the time watching shows on Hulu, Netflix. Alert, you need to add The Handmaid's Tale. It has nothing to do with fashion. It's about It's about a near future takeover of the United States by a totalitarian and Christian fundamentalist government called Gilead. Message: the United States is ruled by a new militarized regime of Bible-thumping social and religious fanaticism. New social classes are created in which women are brutally subjugated and by law not allowed to work, own property, control money, or read. The takeover causes widespread infertility due to warfare-induced environmental contamination. So, of course, this results in the enslavement of the few remaining fertile women called handmaids. The girls dressed in red with white bonnets. The handmaids, according to the biblical precedent, are assigned to the homes of the ruling elite, where they must submit to ritualized sex with their male masters to become pregnant and bear children for those men and their wives. As Chris and Aaron would say, nigga, if you are tired of watching chicken dinners like Gotham, you need to pick a winner like this series. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men and Samira Wiley, Orange is the New Black's Palsy stars. Love the show, Rich. Thanks, Rich.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I haven't had time to watch that one yet. Mm-hmm. Might have to watch that Harlots first. No thank you at Sugar Pop Fit says, I still can't identify that Beckified song. I don't remember what this one was, to be honest, that day.
That was that, what was the name of that song? Shit, I forgot it. But it was terrible. Whatever it was. It took me a minute to recognize it, too.
Yeah, it was trash. Do you think the penis man was innocent, yes or no? Because he got off the, well, no pun intended, but he got off. He found not guilty.
It was mercy.
Oh, that's what it was. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Wonga.
Yeah, mercy.
Nothing like it.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that song.
The way that they performed it, mm-hmm. It took a while to figure out what the hell on, because you know how, you know, the acoustic guitars mess up the flow.
Anyway, 93% of our audience thinks that man got away with murder. Penis man is guilty.
Mm-hmm,
and 7% think he's innocent. Interesting results there, guys. And lastly, episode 1453, No One Likes Arby's, which a couple people were upset that I talked bad about Arby's, and they said something to me on social media. Yeah, both of you guys very upset. But it was such slander, and two people got mad. Okay. Yeah. Very controversial opinion of mine that two of the thousands and thousands of people that hear this show said, oh God, I'm mad. You guys know that y'all are in a small percentage. Just accept it. Okay. Nobody likes that shit. Todd MF says, listen, Carl Hardy Sr. came back out of the Caucasus Mountains to push his white imperialist agenda. Karen referred to that gentrified McRib burger. Although I'd punish one of them joints and not tell nobody, that's beside the point. You seen the commercial for it? How does Carly Carl had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to run up in that black man's place of business and capitalize off the employee's idea? Now, before you say the man said I would never put ribs on a burger, he reserves the right to profit off of his employee's idea. Intellectual property law be damned. I'm literally shaking right now. Hashtag boycott Hardee's. Hashtag not before you try that shit. Hashtag you know black folks love ribs. Hashtag fact 95. 6% of all Europeans are born with tails. Hashtag who trying to meet me at Hardy? Hashtag not to protest but for dinner. Hashtag could be worse. Hashtag could be Arby's. Love y'all. Todd, that's how I feel.
I saw that commercial
and I was just like, come on man, you stole the fucking idea.
You know that barbecue sauce gonna be flames on it, dude.
You know you stole the goddamn idea.
Yeah, he did.
Big Daddy DA says, love the show and have been a listener for years. The story about the white guy who raped his sister and the parents who basically supported him and the judge who said, well, you know what? It's a little pussy between family members. I can't imagine how hard it must be for that little girl to live in that house knowing her brother raped her and her parents basically turned their backs on her. And the justice system that said, wow, you know he shouldn't have done it, he also definitely shouldn't be punished for it. Unreal, but in a country where the president says, you know, just grab him by the pussy, why would the judge lock this monster up? And for someone who, to rape his own sister, you are indeed a monster. That I know what you mean, too, because it's not like if he raped somebody else, I'll be like, not a monster, but this is somehow even more, like, it's even more fucked up in some weird way, where it's just like, You even worse of a rapist than I could even imagine, dude. What the fuck is, like, how can you not be in jail right now?
Yeah, they come home one day, she ran away. I would completely understand.
Right. Like, I don't, and then, like I said, there's no CP, there's no recourse where, like, Child Protective Services can come in and be like, well, what's up with this family? She just gotta live there. The judge should not even be allowed to look at a bench, let alone sit on one ever again. JW says, I fucks with Arby's. That Grand Turkey Club and Giro's are flames. I like that the buffalo chicken sliders mainly because they're $1.29 a piece and I'm cheap. Yeah, well, I love Taco Bell then, because, you know. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, first 15 minutes of the show were priceless. I love the LGBTQ plus news segment. Queen Karen sings her braces off. Super excited about you two headed to Seattle later this year. I was there last week and it was a beautiful city. 5 stars.
I can't wait.
Yeah, man. As long as they pay for them tickets and shit, you know what I'm saying? I hate to be, you know, I almost didn't even tell y'all because I normally try to wait till I'm 100% sure
that we gonna do it.
But somebody was like, I already bought my tickets. I'm like, well, I hope, you know, if everything go right, we'll be there. If these motherfuckers come back in a week or two, like, oh man, dog, I'm gonna be like, what? Monica says, the girl from The Real, Adrian something, is Balan, I think is her last name, is Latina. So I personally feel, as a fellow Latina, it's fucked up and totally loaded with respectability bullshit for her to say there's a way to say what Monique said but with class and not as loud if she don't get the fuck. I'm glad Lonnie spoke up and made the same point that Rob made about how it was Monique's own stand-up show on her terms. Ugh, that girl is a mess. 100. Yeah, and I saw Monique on Twitter hit up Adrian Balan. I was like, oh, I'm happy to come on The Real to talk to y'all about it. Me and my husband would love to talk to you. So, yeah, I do it. That's my thing. Because my thing is, don't talk that shit and then get scared. There's no reason to expect Monique won't come on and talk to you face-to-face with, you know, with like all the necessary way, you know, what am I trying to say? Cordiality or whatever. Like, there's no reason to expect her to just show up, act a fool. It's not like she's on stage giving her comedy routine. She's done interviews before. Have her on. Talk about it. And like I said, the thing I took away from that clip mostly is how afraid the black people in that industry were to say something bad about Tyler Perry, Lee Daniels, or Oprah. You know, it's almost
I think some of them I had ties with some of them, so
yeah,
like,
well, they, some of them said it, like, those are my friends, I've talked to them, I don't know them but I know them, you know, like, and those are movers and shakers and they help people get jobs and shit. You never know when you have an opportunity and you don't want to burn that bridge. But for Monique, the bridge has already been burned at this point. She's just telling y'all what you already know.
Yeah, and ain't nothing you could do now.
EVE says, this Arby slander coming from a man who terrorizes us by eating his Kit Kats all cattywampus is just wrong. First of all, how you eat a Kit Kat doesn't matter because I still eat it. The thing is, I'm not disagreeing with how you eat Arby's. I'm disagreeing with that you eat Arby's at all. All I said was the truth. I ain't never been in a line at an Arby's.
I'm just here for the potato cakes.
I ain't never been in a line at an Arby's. And Karen's never, ever, ever said, let's go to Arby's for potato cakes. Not mm-hmm. once in my mm-hmm. life, ever. Mm-hmm. Not once, y'all. Okay? Y'all all a bunch of liars. And I don't know why y'all are lying over for Arby's.
Oh, I agree with you said. If it's something that we happen to go, I'm here for the potato cakes. If we ain't going, I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all always trying to find the good and the bad with Arby's. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. I'm just here for the napkins. I'm gonna tell you something. Them napkins, Arby's napkins.
Woo, they're 2-ply.
Best in the game.
Trying to tell you, suck up our sauce.
Well, you know what? After the show, we eat Arby's today, Karen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting chat room? Did that just happen? We could just get all the unlimited potato cakes you want, Karen. On me. Mm-hmm. I got you. Potato Cake City today. All of a sudden, it's not good enough. Isn't that interesting, EVE? She says, Arby's got the meat and I love every juicy bite. Lie. You ain't named one sandwich. She said, you had the audacity of a white girl saying she discovered shea butter. Actually, I don't. I said, I have the audacity of a white girl saying, why is it shea butter on my aisle with my good hair and then slapping it off the shelf? Because I would never eat Arby's. Really Dark Knight says, listen, the story about the brother raping his sister and the entire system turning her back on her was too motherfucking much. They all deserve to go to jail. Parents, judge, the brothers, show show how whiteness and maleness are king in this country. Then you follow that up with another race story that's just fucked up. This too much. Yeah, and to be honest, there was another story I just didn't even cover. Like, I think it was in the That's Y'all Man segment, a white people news segment. Well, I was just like,
we had to have a break. Yeah, we had to.
It's
break.
Too much. Like, I'm telling you, man, the stories we don't cover sometimes, but I still read. Sometimes I'm just like, man, I wonder how I'm affected by that. Cause I know there's like, so-and-so kills a baby, so-and-so rapes a baby, so-and-so kills a puppy, so-and-so, like, and I'm just like, too much, can't put this on the show. But I'll read it sometimes just to be like, you know, oh wow, that happened, that's crazy. And you see the depravity of people, and especially men, you know, it's no good way to put it, man. Men are fucking dangerous in our society, man. Like, all these articles just have a theme, which is that some motherfucking dude decided today's the day I'm taking somebody's life. And yet you still got people walking around saying shit like, you know, women are emotional and men are logical and shit. You know, it's just nothing supports that opinion other than just you saying it. All right. The poll was easy. Do you like Arby's? Yes. Potato cake me up, baby. Or nope. 64% of y'all said no, y'all don't like Arby's. But still, 36% of y'all said potato cake me up. So some of y'all like it. We got some comments. Rockstar says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy for eating Arby's. You know your stomach is going to be in a world of pain when you order 5 Arby's roast beef sandwiches for $5. Anyone who can stomach their food is truly special and has a stomach made of cast iron. Jeremy says Arby's is like the Tyrese of fast food.
Oh,
it is. The menu items are spelled wrong. Monica says, my whole life there's only been one Arby's I knew of near the bus station in Times Square. Can't remember eating there, but it looks shady. Recently they opened up like a block away and a really new nice space, and I went with a friend and I had a great turkey sandwich, great service and everything. Maybe I opened a dimensional portal. Shrug. I'll go back to see if it's good again. Need to try potato cakes, I guess. Stephen Miller says, there were no Arby's in my neighborhood. One did open for a few weeks. Of course, my neighborhood has been gentrified. They did open a Shake Shack and a Five Guys. Overpriced and unimpressive. Damn, just when I got McDonald's money. Well, McDonald's money and the food soon part. All right, we got a couple, we got a lot of voicemails. Let me play these.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Somebody butt y'all up. I don't know what we gonna do with that guy. Every fucking day, man.
Did somebody
butt down? Yeah, he's trying to rush and have a bunch of buy-offs in there so he can go smoke and bullshit around.
Maybe somebody, I'm going to stop for, we might be accessories to a crime.
Right, down.
I don't know what happened with that. And then they called back.
Did you butt dial us,
6 hours later, but I don't think they left a message. Somebody just got us on their wrong phone. I don't.
Yeah, wrong number, baby.
Yeah, be careful out there.
Good thing we ain't the feds.
Right. Lucky we ain't no snitches.
Right, we ain't no snitches,
baby. A 7-second voicemail? What could this even be? What's this one? Oh, this is the beginning of computer love. All right, I don't know what's happening with our line this week.
Okay.
All right, next
one. All right, next one.
How long is this one? That must have been a 0-second message or something. I hate to wait.
Okay. What's happening today?
What is going on with our messages today?
I don't know.
Yes, 0 seconds. All right.
Do we need to refresh, take it down, and restart it?
Here's another voicemail. This one's 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, it was good, Rod and Karen. This is boy Martin Bad Bradford from New Orleans. And first off, I got to call y'all, man. I was listening to your episode. Y'all had this episode. Y'all was talking about, like, different things that was going on with the monuments and as well as, like, racism in the theater. And, like, first off, I got to say thank y'all, man. I've been listening to y'all for, like, 5 years now. I'm going to say 5 years now. I be feeling like, man, like, y'all my, like, my TD and my Paul Rang, like, you know, in New Orleans, Paul Rang's like your goddad, and your TD like your uncle, so your TD like your auntie. So I be feeling like, man, every time y'all drop something, man, my TD and my Paul Rang about to run some real at me right quick, you feel me? But, so like, yeah, man, just listening to y'all all these years, especially listening to Rod and Chris on the Sandy Check, I be like, man, like, you shaped how I look at things as a black man coming up and from patriarchy to women's issues to politics to even being motherfucking nerds, you hear me? Because, you know, at times you be feeling like alone, thinking that, you know, you're the only motherfucking nigga that's in the comic books and wrestling or movies of that nature. When I, you know, I start listening to y'all podcasts, I'd be like, God damn, nigga, other motherfucking black nerds, and y'all older than me, which means you could become older, successful. I ain't gonna say, I ain't saying you old and shit. But, you know, you could be successful and good and still, you know, holding on to your nerddom and your blackness. So I be saying, you know, from black man to black man, appreciate you. And then listen to Karen, man, you keep it all the way 100. But the reason I'm calling in was because I was just about to make a connection to how I can give y'all props in all this monument situation, you feel me? So people like this, all right, listening to y'all all these years, man, again, inspired me to do this podcast called the Fly With Bass Podcast, you know what I mean? And on the Fly With Bass Podcast, we get into a whole bunch of, you know, a whole bunch of topics like y'all do. So in doing the podcast, it afforded me an opportunity to get on this radio show called The Misbelief, that's an AM radio show here in New Orleans. So on that radio show, we always have guests on and whatnot, you feel me? So one time we talking and all this monument stuff been going on, because, you know, and taking down these monuments, our homie Questmore, he was over this thing called Take 'Em Down NOLA, and they've been the main ones, like, for years, been battling to get these monuments taken down, you feel me? So, we like, it's been like a celebration seeing them get down. Whenever one is going down, like, they got some people out there with the Confederate bullshit on their racist nonsense and all that, but straight up, it's always like a second line of the party as all this black folk down there just dancing like, yeah, take them white motherfuckers down, take them racist people down and whatnot. So the craziest thing is who you'll find out there in support of the Confederates, because once again, this is New Orleans. It's a small New Orleans, a small-ass city. So we got our partner on the radio show, and he's talking about, he's talking about how he saw a principal that works at his school out there on the Confederate side, and he works as a principal for a black school. So he's out here teaching black kids, the principal of a black school, and he got the nerve to be on the Confederate side waving that flag or whatnot. So on our show, we like, well, what's his name? You feel me? So we out his name, which leads a listener to peep it out and say, oh, that's his name? All right, yeah. Find his LinkedIn. The listener go from finding his LinkedIn to just pushing this whole brigade to getting this dude fired, which really led to this motherfucker, Nicholas Dean's name, to getting fired. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, damn, so when y'all talking about the monuments on that episode of, on the Blackout Tips, which, you know, name your shit, but, you know, you're talking about the monuments or whatever, I'm looking like, damn, we just got this racist-ass white principal fired from a black school poisoning our kids and shit, and this can all be linked back to y'all, because if I was never listening to the Blackout Tips, I would never have started a podcast, which would have never gotten me on this radio show, which in many ways will not have happened because, you know, on that joint, I helped the dude that started it, like, get it going, because he was saying, well, you do a podcast, I need your help. Well, it all go right back around to the black guy who tipped doing the public service. You could say by, you know, 7 to 18 degrees of separation, y'all helped us get this racist motherfucker kicked out of this black school. You hear me? I'm just saying. So, and the other thing, I know I've been taking a minute, but the other thing I wanted to connect to was, y'all was talking about that, you know, that theater company that they wouldn't let, he did, but he wouldn't let motherfuckers, you know, have black people in his plays. And that's been also a thing going on in this city, in New Orleans, because, like, I was just an actor as well. So, I was just in this play, and I got cast to be, I was, like, the first person to ever play the black version of this character, this guy named Chance Wayne, who's, like, known to be, like, played by Paul Newman, white. So as soon as I get the show come out, all kind of motherfucking, like we had a lot of white people that liked and supported. And I'm not saying it was all straight, you know, KKK type shit. But it was a trip in the arts community that, like, these older white patrons was going, oh, my God, why did this cast black guy do? And you think, we're in the arts world. You see Shakespeare put up in, like, space and shit. But we will change the genders of people. We'll do all kind of stuff. But y'all see a black man playing a white man role, and all of a sudden there's this big hoopla. And that hoopla in our city also made it to the same magazine that was talking about the same story I was on about, you know, in his death, he's still saying, fuck the black man. I'm like, man, it's crazy how all this shit just connect and come together. And, man, I'm just glad that this podcast and people like y'all just putting it out there, putting that word out there and letting niggas know, like, look, this is out here. This shit is wrong. fuck y'all. If y'all got a problem with it, don't listen. You feel me? So I hope I made sense right now, because, you know, I'm kind of nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous, but like I said, I've been listening to y'all. I've been listening to y'all for not, and y'all inspiration in many ways. Let me get up off this thing. But like from New Orleans, from the Fly with Bass podcast, from the Misbelief radio show, from Martin Bass graphic straight up, keep pushing. Thank y'all. Y'all have more power than y'all probably even realize, straight up.
Wow, man. Aww,
thank you, sweetie.
First of all, thank you for the call. 5 years listening. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Love your accent, dog.
Me too. Like, I was like, that's a sexy voice. And nigga, we is old.
And then the other thing was, well, the black nerd part that you hit on, I just had a conversation last week playing basketball with this kid, man, named Manny. And, he had been playing for a while because he had moved up to the north side, but he came down to play ball with us this week because school's out and shit. And we was just talking about anime, man. Like, he walked over to me and was like, you still on that anime? I was like, yeah, man. We had a full-blown conversation. Certain people was like contributing. Like, it was basically a bunch of black dudes sitting around talking about anime, and that's kind of been my experience. So and I'm so thankful for my experience, because no offense, but the more I meet certain people where I'm like, damn, you never had just regular ass niggas you could talk to about this shit.
Right.
So you associated it with some weird stuff in your head about like, black people must not like this. This makes me special as a black person. Like, other, you know, am I white? Am I not black enough? Like, all these questions I never had to have, because I've been having that kind of conversation my whole life, all the way back to like Speed Racer and shit. So, you know, it was cool to have that conversation. And, you know, we were talking about Bleach and Inuyasha and Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. And we were talking about One Punch Man, and because he's the person that told me about One Punch Man.
One Punch Man is greatness.
And I was like, oh yeah, I watched it since we talked. And he was like, oh man, I'm off that now. I'm on something else. And I was like, well, what about Attack on Titan? Season 2 started on Cartoon Network.
Yes,
and he was like, well, I watched the whole first season, but I'm going to wait till the second season build all the way up. Then I'm going to go and marathon it. Like, it was just cool, man, to be able to, you know, have that conversation. You know, and I didn't even think about it till I was leaving out the wild. I was like, yeah, we just had a black ass nerd moment. But, you know, I think I've just been having those my whole life. So I'm glad to be a voice for a lot of people, mm-hmm, that can hear something, kindred spirit for a lot of black people that,
right,
it, maybe you just, where you're living, where you're at, just your social interactions, you haven't really heard other black people that are kind of into some of this nerdy shit. And not ashamed of it, but also not patting ourselves on the back like, look how special we are for this. That's dope. Second thing, glad they got that person fired. Fuck them. I don't have no sympathy. Like, you're not gonna be teaching my black babies and then up here talking about Confederate heritage and pride. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. My kid doesn't need to internalize anything from you. And then lastly, that playwright, that's funny because you're right, they don't mind switching genders with things. Mm-hmm. They don't mind,
like I said, put them in space and shit.
Yeah, or often something that just doesn't get talked about, like taking roles of color and putting white people in them.
Come on,
happens all the time. Yet somehow this is the time when, you know, and like they say, that's his family's right. That nigga is dead,
right?
So at this point, it's y'all, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people that have some fucked up beliefs that, you know, we just don't espouse those beliefs even with the good things they did. So it's like, it's cool to be like, Lyndon B. Johnson was able to, you know, help get the Voting Rights Act passed, but he also interned Japanese people or whatever. Like, it's okay to say both of those things and be like, well, one of those is shameful and that's not part of a legacy that we want to celebrate. To me, I feel like the attitudes of race and shit is not something to be celebrated. It should be like, well, that was his vision, but he dead. He not watching this play in heaven or hell or wherever the fuck he is. Yes, put some black people in it. Do what you want to do. Maybe it'll be a hit. Look at Hamilton. Nobody thought Hamilton was going to be what it is. And now, you know, somebody's looking for the next Hamilton. Anyway, thank you for the call, man.
Thank you, baby.
Let's see. Next voicemail. This is 17 seconds. This is a wrong call. Let me see.
Hey, hold up. My bad. It's Bats again. You hear me? Oh. And I got to say this. I love you, Karen. need some I Love You Karen t-shirts or something. If y'all ain't got them already, that's just, we need to get up on that, you feel me? Because, you know, we all us be saying it, but we all mean that shit, you hear me? All right, bye to you then, Paul Rand. I'm out this time.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Put some thank you, sweetest on a t-shirt.
Oh, some t-shirts.
All right, next voicemail.
Hey, Black Guy, this is Dad. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Cowherd Jamal Ball situation. I think the biggest problem that I don't think anybody is addressing is the fact that Cowherd's studio setup is absolutely atrocious. Aesthetically hideous. You have Cowherd sitting at a desk that looks down at the desk. The desk is sitting on the couch, you know, a microphone apparatus to the left. That's straining their neck to look up into the left and talk to Cowherd. And then talk to your female co-host, strain to the right and up to look at them, and they're way off in the distance. It's the dumbest design set I've ever seen in my life.
All right. Oh, that was it. Short, sweet, to the point.
I agree. It's the dumbest design I've ever seen in my life. They both of them need to be on the same side.
Yeah, that's such a weird setup. And then, like I said, it's sad because it's a bunch of problems all having a conversation. Everybody in that room was a problem. So yeah, I don't want to support any of them, to be honest. I don't support Colin Cowherd. I don't support her because she does go over the line and say stupid shit sometimes. And then I don't support LeVar Ball. It's like, I don't know why that became a touchstone for everybody to get their agendas in, but it really wasn't the time. It's much better just being like, that's a thing that happened, and walking away. You know, it's like when Charlamagne goes in on Jason Whitlock, and people were celebrating and passing that. Oh, he went in, man. He made him dunk it a day. He talked about him for 10 minutes. And I'm like, well, what I'm noticing is two things. One, Charlamagne does know better when he wants to, because he was using all the critiques against Jason Whitlock that have often fallen at his feet, and he went, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, there's so many people that have been like, yo, what you say is disrespectful and fucked up towards Black women, and he's just been like, whatever. Like, I that's not how I mean, and I'm fine. Y'all, you know. But when it was time to attack Jason Whitlock, all of a sudden he could understand all the intersections of Black women and feminism and body shaming and all this shit. And then he ends it with a bunch of fat shaming stuff at the end. So it's almost like, you know, I can't really pass that around to say, you know, it's once again, I'm watching two people have a fight that I don't have a side on, and I don't think either one is right, you know? And at the end of the day, he was talking about Jason Whitlock defending this white woman and saying how fucked up it was because that white woman was problematic, and she tried to use the Emmett Till tactic to get LeVar Ball messed up. But he defends Tommy Lauren, who is even worse, you know, who thinks white people need to stop being quote unquote afraid to talk about race, when she really just means be racist. You know, like, you can't defend any of the people involved in these situations because none of them have a code, none of them have honor, none of them have dignity, none of them have a line they want to cross. So you know, it's just about them saying what's hot at the moment to win a discussion for the moment, and then right back to nothing, you know? So yeah, it's hard to root for anybody involved in this situation. Like, LeVar Ball is just a microcosm of what's wrong with the media today. A bunch of people that don't need to know shit talking a bunch of authoritarian stuff and then having hot takes, and everybody having a hot take based on that. They moved the needle, though. They got the ratings, so that's all that their job really is, I guess. Next voicemail, last one, actually.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is EVE, and I was calling to throw myself on the mercy of the gracious, beautiful Queen Karen. You have to take control of your husband, because these white people songs are getting out of control. I used to be the one that didn't mind the acoustic guitar, maybe because I didn't hear it that often, but every day it's driving me crazy. I think once I heard the dropping the N-bomb several times, I knew the madness had to stop. that was just egregious, and I wanted to karate chop him in the throat. And you know what you're doing, and it's got to stop. Just want to let you know that I have my tickets to NegroCon, and I'm bringing a plus two, and my plus two are called chance because I want to fight you all up in the face for the torture and the emotional abuse that you have perpetuated on your audience with these acoustic monstrosities. other than that, I love your show. Thanks. Keep doing what you're doing, except for the white people acoustic crap. Bye.
Well, first of all, if you attack me, I have it set up so that the show will be nothing. It'll release an episode that's nothing but acoustic guitar covers.
The whole episode.
I have a button that I have to press once every 24 hours to keep that from going to the feed. And if I'm dead, that's all that'll be left on the
feed.
What's
the yam? Yes! The yams are the power that be.
And as you can tell from Karen's enthusiasm, she's just as much part of the problem. So
I like hopeless. That song.
It's hopeless. So you need to stop trying to tell, stop trying to police our show. Stop trying to tone police us and let us make the show that we intend to make as black people. Only thing you're doing is making me look up more. I'm looking up more covers right now, just the play later. White people need to know what kind of menace they are. And the only way to get it properly conveyed is to see them ruining black music that they claim to appreciate. Thank you very much. emails. Let girls be from let's see, a lyric eye who says, hey, Karen and Rod, Sunday's episode threw me right back in the middle in high school and I just need to vent a little bit with y'all. Okay. Come through then. Hold on. All right. The dress code was just another tool of control and the bane of my existence. I was only in fourth grade when overheard my teacher telling my dad, single father, it's time for me to start wearing a bra. I skipped right past the training part, and I guess that's where you're supposed to learn how to manage attention to that growing breast bring. I didn't ask for my middle school nickname to be Hooters. I didn't ask for my high school counselor to assume I was seeking attention and send me home when the matching V-neck t-shirts my best friend gave me for my birthday looked a lot different on me than her. I didn't ask to be whistled at and followed home from school by grown men whose children I probably knew, but the dress code was always there to tell me it was my fault. They never used the word slut directly, but I got the distinct impression that's what I was dressed like, and whenever disciplined by teachers or counselors, I was never given the benefit of the doubt that I might have actually been mortified, or benefit of the thought that I might have actually been mortified, that I might have been unaware of myself in the way clothes fit, that I was hitting growth spurts left and right. They always said, if you follow the dress code as if it were some infallible document. There are entirely too many people in charge of young girls' self-image, and the fact that adults can just decide who you and your intentions are, just stand and just start handing out punishments, has always bothered me. Mm-hmm. I was never put in a position of the girl in the story, but it's inevitable situation given dress codes are never really meant to help teach you what's appropriate. Mm-mm. I call them I get to rules because it seems like people are always looking for a reason to police girls. If you wear a skirt I deem too short, I get to deny you an education. If you wear that low cut shirt, I get to get disrespect and shame you. And if you complain about fitting in, I get to call you frivolous. But if you don't care, I get to bash you with every rule I can find until you think about all you think about is you what you look like and who is going to offend or please, and then call you frivolous again for not being focused on your studies. That girl is smart and focused enough to have gotten multiple scholarships, but she didn't care enough when we told her her shoulders were out, so no more Ivy League for her. Shit's a trap, and yet another reason I consider homeschooling for my kids I don't have yet. Thanks for letting me vent, y'all. A lyric eye.
When I tell you, I have, particularly on Facebook, I've seen a lot of parents really homeschool. They're like, I'm homeschooling until they get to kindergarten, because for a lot of women, daycare is a fucking mortgage. Your whole paycheck will actually go towards daycare in certain situations. So a lot of women are like, fuck it, until they get to five, I'm gonna be here. And one of the things where you might as well enjoy free education while you can, because the way Bessie DeVoe, whatever the fuck her name is doing it, eventually you're gonna have to pay for school.
I do, and that's the thing. I always have thought about that for little girls, man, because, you know, I remember, like, we go watch, like, a little girl, like, my niece's basketball game. Some girls are more mature than others in their, like, body, but they're the same age. Those kids are out there at the same age, and they all had the same maturity level. Just because your body might develop, you're still 11-year-old, you're still 13-year-old, you're just a kid. And it's funny because, not funny, but scary, really, because you know that somebody's body developing ahead of quote unquote schedule, whatever that means, means that they will attract the interest of men. And as much as people swear to God they don't understand the men is trash shit, even though they understand that bitches ain't shit but hoes are tricks, doesn't mean all women. Shout out to Nick Jew.
Come on.
But yet they swear that men are the ones who are attacked, that men are the ones who should be scared, that men are the ones who really have it hard, and no, you not trash, don't listen to that. And yet at the same time, their biggest nightmare is that the women in their lives would attract the attention of some random man, because they're scared of those men too. You know, they're scared of what that means for those women.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it is scary. And that's just before you even consider, because if you think about it, with dress code for women at that age, for girls at that age, is really more under the auspices of keeping them from attracting the attention of boys and men. So even then, the dress code is not about the women. It's about the fact that we refuse to say to men and to boys, this is a not acceptable behavior. That, like, just, you know, she, like, you can, the same way you can wear a t-shirt and shorts to school, she should be able to wear a t-shirt and shorts to school without being like, well, she got some big titties, so her shirt gotta be different. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel bad because it's no way to protect somebody from that, like you said, unless you, like, homeschool them or something. Because these zero tolerance policies and all these rules where if you look at a sheet of what women can wear, what men can wear, it's like the damn women's page is always 3 to 4 times much longer.
Come on, even, you know, in the workplace.
Anthony writes in, Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, hey, Rod and Karen. This email is titled Black Rage. I was just scrolling through Tumblr and seeing pictures from a story you covered where the young lady was wearing an off-the-shoulder shirt and got suspended for 10 days. I couldn't believe how overblown this got over nothing situation. Listening to the story, I felt for her, but after seeing the pictures, I was enraged. Knowing that she was threatened with being arrested for such nonsense is just unbelievable. Thank you for sharing the news that is often overlooked. Yeah, man. And nothing ever happens to these principals or nothing. Like, the most that would happen is they might go, well, she can come back to school or something. And that's like the reason it's in the news is because there was no recourse left for the parent or the kid.
Right.
So you had to go to the news station and be like, can you believe this ridiculous shit? And hope they publish it. Miss Christopher writes in, Mo to the, Neek to the, hey y'all, real quick about the Monique situation. One, like y'all have been reiterating, Monique has been classy for almost a decade. Two, for her to come out and say slanderous things, I'm pretty sure means that she has options and is stirring up some stuff for some future things she's working on. Not only are they on some respectability stuff with her, they are also insulting her intelligence as a comedy grinder in the game for a couple of decades. Yet that part is something that always gets to me, and
she's
think
been around for a very long time.
I'm not even talking about her time in the game. That's not what I'm talking about. The part that always gets to me is when people talk like you didn't consider what the fuck else obvious point they're making.
Right.
Like, if it's this deep in the game, this long in this beef, yeah, nigga, I did think about that. It's a new problem to you because I'm talking about it.
Right. True.
But it ain't
right,
a new right. problem. True. You know, it's like the people that get mad that you threw a punch to retaliate against somebody that's been fucking with you for years. Like, wow, did you think about this? I tried everything. I wasn't working. They were stopping me from working. Now what? Well, I mean, if you don't talk about it, I didn't talk about it. I still couldn't get no work. So what are you saying, really? You're nothing. You're not contributing to any solution. You're just trying to, you're the person that comes along after someone's called me a nigger and then goes, well, I just don't like to see two people fight. Fuck you, you useless ass piece of shit. Sorry. Anybody else, especially white men, they would have put two and two together, like there's a lot of noise coming from on these camp and she's been burning bridges and smithereens. She must have something potent up her sleeves, but instead she gets this stupid bit of black biatch. Don't know what's good for her. She doubly canceled, as kids say. Also, the way she, you pull sweet soul Adrian Balon, was beautiful. Love and, hugs and kisses, and see y'all soon, Miss Crystal.
Thank you.
Yeah, we will see soon. Tiana writes in, listen to feedback. Hello there, Rod and Karen. Apologies in advance for this long message. I went premium a couple of months ago, which, sidebar, I've gone back to the beginning of the Nerd Off, and that show is everything. Thank you guys for all the hard work and research. I also was only introduced to the Blackout to this podcast this past September, and you two are beyond amazing. Your podcast is a major part of my life now. Y'all are with me in my commute, at my desk, even while grocery shopping. I've laughed, cried, laughed some more, and been pissed listening to the nonsense that goes on in the country. Anyway, to the point of my email, when I went premium, it honestly felt like Christmas without the gifts of the episodes to catch up on. Being a fan of the Walking Dead recast, and most recently this Too Much, it was like prayers answered seeing the Dim Thrones podcast. I got to about episode 4, season 5, when I noticed there's no recordings for season 6, or at least that I found. Oh, I just need to put them on the feed. We did those. I'm gonna make a note. Hold on.
We need to cut those. And
Dim Thrones, season 6.
I ain't gonna promise you nothing. I guess after I eventually watch Insecure, we can go back and finish up the one or two seasons we didn't do.
Like I said, that's always up to you, and you always making these promises on the air that you don't deliver. So y'all can say that again on Twitter. Then this week, while listening to episode 1449, Slavery is Bad, you mentioned issues with the hashtag Dim Thrones. Being a newcomer, maybe I missed it. What was the issue with Dim Thrones hashtag? Well, to go, I don't like, not to go too far into it, but someone wrote an article attributing the hashtag Dim Thrones to, I think, another podcast, Black Girl Nerds, I think at the time. And then, attributing it to me. Which, without asking or talking to anybody involved, they didn't do any research. They just wrote these things. I cannot remember the publication it was in, to be honest, which is one of the reasons, to go back to what I said at the time, I don't get very excited about these things because they don't really do much for anybody, to be honest. But, they did no research and they basically flubbed it and said, like, well, these are the people that made this hashtag. And then, despite the fact that Black Girl Nerds immediately tweeted out, that's not true, I got this from Rodimus Prime, and I immediately tweeted out, well, I didn't invent this shit either. The homies at Firestarter were always, it's them. I shout them out every time, but, you know, our show has gotten so big. I think sometimes people just disregard when I'm like, oh, shout out to Firestarter. They came up with that. My favorite podcast, shit like that. I think people just be like, yada, yada, yada on that shit. And at the time, you know, it's something that, the show, it's not like the show blew up overnight. I didn't realize that people were, you know, basically disregarding that to a certain extent. And more importantly, you know, since this person never saw out the article, you had people legitimately feeling, it caused a lot of upset in the community, man.
Yes, it did.
Cause I think what we have is not, it's almost like I want to look at a lot of things as family and stuff, but I learned from that. The lesson I learned from that is that a lot of this is just business. And even if you really cool with people and you like people, you have to start at least thinking of the pitfalls of what could happen. Business wise, like you'll never catch me selling some Dim Thrones merchandise or something. It's not mine. Like, it's like a cool thing that's like a homage to somebody else that we just thought, well, like, this is the perfect phrase into this. It's so dope, but it's theirs, you know?
It's theirs.
Right. So it caused a big rift, man. There was a lot of hurt feelings. I think that week we had, DJ Ben Amin on. I think we even had then we had Firestarter Crew on. One of my favorite episodes. And then we had Jamie on at one point, like the next week or so. So like, you know, I like to view our podcast as like a hub that brings a lot of people together. They don't always get along, and we're not gonna get along with everybody, but I like I like to consider that we have a place where a lot of people can come together, and I hope people remember to a certain extent that they do share space with each other. We do share fans. When you know, like, a lot of people are kind of, you know, in their own weird twisted way rooting for us to fall out with everybody involved. Like, there were people that didn't want us to see us be cool with Black Girl Nerds. There were people that didn't want to see us be cool with Fan Bros. There were people that didn't want to see us be cool with Firestarters. Like, everybody had their own agendas involved, and to be honest, there's value in each of those relationships, and wouldn't want to lose it over something that honestly nobody involved started it.
Right, nobody involved.
Some lazy person who just decided, I'm writing this article and saying blank 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 did that, you know. And then it was everybody trying to get attention off of it. People were writing blog posts about us, like we weren't, like it's weird because it's like they treat you like you're not a person.
Yes sir.
Or like you're some diabolical, like this is my scheme or something.
Yeah, with no scheme behind it.
Yeah. And it's just however angry someone is at the other party, that's what they say about you, you know. Like Black Girls Nerds is just this, Firestarter is just that, Blackout Tips is just that, Fan Bros is just that. Like, you think of whatever stereotype you want to include there, and it's right. Like, but that's not really all it is to any of these shows.
No, and the relationships are deeper than that.
So yeah, man, it was just this stupid drama, man. I hated that it came through like that, it was very like emotionally disturbing at the time, because you know I try to stay in a positive framework and space and be supportive to so many different people that it was kind of like hard to go through and be like, you know, I have my principles on this, but at the same time I don't want to back down. And like the big thing for to me was, I don't want any of the credit for the Dim Throne shit if it's going to cause any strife to the Firestarter crew. Like, that then what's the point? If it's not like I'm just signal boosting and being like, isn't this cool? Look what y'all did. Look what Black people, because honestly, it won't be the same after that. But at the time, Dim Thrones was really about the power of Black people coming together and making something trend every fucking night, like every Sunday, like clockwork. If Game of Thrones was trending number one, Dim Thrones was number two. And after that, it became about how powerful the hashtag was and who should get credit. It's like everything kind of went to the side, because none of that shit was for me. I'm not speaking for anyone else. None of that shit to me is important. You know, like, what's important is the good time that we're all having, not who, if I get the credit for. I'm not trying to take anyone else's credit. Mm-mm. I only want the credit for the shit that I do. I don't want nobody else's shit. I don't want their money. I don't want their nothing. Just like, if I did something and Karen did something with the Blackout Tips, thank you. We love when we get credit for what we do. If somebody else does something, I'm not that dude. I'm not trying to take your jokes. I'm not trying to take your segment. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, like, that, like, to have that kind of mentality is a callousness towards people that I don't want to ever possess. Where I'm looking at people and going, how do I take what makes them great and make it mine? Mm-hmm. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and the thing about it, you can't duplicate something that's authentic. Like, you can actually try your best to imitate it, but you can never duplicate it, because one thing about it is that the people that created that, there's something unique about it, and you can't do anything. You can't build those years of relationship. You can't build those friendships. You can't build that deepness. You can't build that closeness. You can't, it's just, you just can't duplicate it. So you can try, but you will never succeed.
That's another reason I wouldn't even, like, I know people do it, but I don't understand the mentality of stealing people's shit. Like,
yeah,
I'ma steal these tweets. I'ma steal, oh, I heard this joke on this podcast, I'ma act like it's mine. Or I saw this on a TV show, I'ma act like I came up with it. I don't even understand that, because you're not the creator of it. You can't do it again. You stole. You know what I'm saying? And also, what's the harm in giving somebody credit? Like,
come
that was
on, a dog.
Like, the ego part of it was what was so fucked up, is because people, I think, and I know they meant well, so this isn't a diss to people, but I think in their minds they think, well, ego wise you just want to hear that you're right and everybody's wrong. And so many people, I'm talking about way more people than way more people were just like, Rod, you ain't do nothing wrong, y'all show didn't do nothing wrong, these niggas da 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 da, to just like to dismiss them. But I know for a fact they don't feel that way about other people. So when they fuck with somebody, like let it be the woman who came up with the Black Girl Magic phrase, like, we don't just say, well, it's bigger than y'all now, you shouldn't be able to sell these shirts, shit, everybody's selling Black Girl Magic shirts, too bad, why you ain't trademark it? We don't talk like that towards her.
In fact, somebody tried to mimic that
and they shut that shit
and
down.
They was like, no, unless you paying her a paper, you better stop.
Right. So I don't want to be like, well, for the principle of it, when it's working in my favor, then fuck them principles. Mm-hmm. Nah, principle is the shit that you do when it's not convenient, man. Come so, on. You know, I, like I said, even without it being intended, I can recognize a slight when a slight is had. And,
come on.
That's the reason I apologize. And to be honest, man, that's the reason I'm still cool with those dudes to this day. Cause I do respect them. I respect their product. I think their show is just a fucking, it's my favorite show. I don't miss it. Like, it's, every time it comes out, I'm laughing till I'm crying my eyes out. You know, even when I disagree with them, they present perspectives in a way that I, like, either I hadn't thought about it before, or sometimes it strengthens the way I feel, where I'm like, well, this is why that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Or, okay, just didn't think of it that way, but I can see where you're coming from. Shit like that. So, yeah, I felt like the goal of that person who wrote that was just being lazy and trying to write a quick piece, but it hurt a lot of people within that community over a hashtag that I think, for lack of a better term, the Black community online was quote unquote sharing that hashtag.
Yeah, they were.
But it had sparked off into some shit that's just beyond the control of anybody at some point. Like, people still doing it with shows where they're trying to take the name of the show and turn it into some type of like slang vernacular or whatever, which clearly they can't be fans of Firestarter if they're doing that, because like that wasn't the point.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? So like, clearly it was just out of control at some point, and it happens with me. They talk about Impossible White Man on Dan Lebatard's radio show like a couple times a year. Hilarious. People will hit me on Twitter and say they talking about the Impossible White Man. They don't know about ImpossibleWhiteMan.com. They ain't got the details right. They be fucking the shit up. They be like, is it Wesley Snipes Impossible Black Man and all this shit. And you know what, dog? Legitimately, fine. I don't care. Like, do what you want to with that concept. It's not for me to really police. It's too big of a job at that point, where millions of people probably heard this phrase and it's not the exact way that I would like to say it, and it's not the approved way that I've talked about it. So I just gotta let it slide. That's kind of what we're doing with this job, with this gig we have, is sometimes shit gets bigger than we can handle and control, and we just gotta let it go out into the world and recognize that, you know, maybe the people that are really interested will come find out where it's from.
Yeah.
And some people just ain't never gonna give a fuck.
Mm-mm, that's okay too.
Yeah, but you go to ImpossibleWhiteManMovie.com, it's gonna come back to our website, so you know, whatever. But yeah, that's kind of what happened. Was I hope you hope, and I think there's some episodes you can even go back on the archive and listen to.
It is
where we detailed it. All right, so she also says, being a sort of newcomer, maybe I missed it. What was the issue with the, okay, I talked about that. What happened to Patrice? Man, Patrice's schedule to record just got crazy. You can't really hear it, because if you're only listening to the Dim Thrones episodes, you don't hear all the episodes where it's like, well, we thought we could record today, but Patrice wasn't able to record, and she doesn't have a good recording situation, so we gotta move the show. And, you know, when we do Dim Thrones, we need consistency, man. Like, you know, it needs to be this time every week, same time everybody, we gotta show up, and because motherfuckers, y'all get kind of uptight about that show, like, so we just couldn't do it, and she was too busy. So that was, and you know, and there was like some whole other shit going on with another podcast and Patrice and shit. It was just more like, all right, this is as good a getting out point as possible without getting in no trouble. So but yeah, in general, like I said, we just couldn't find time to record. It would literally be like, can we record Monday at this time, and then Monday would come and she'd be like, nah, can we move it to Wednesday, or I can't do it today. And it was like, we don't have a guest. And we also thought, man, it would be cool to spread the love around, because it helps people find other podcasts and other personalities when we invite them on to review it.
Yes.
As well. Where can I find season 6? I will edit and put those on the feed. That is all on me. And I got you, dog. I got you. Okay. So many questions I know. I hope I'm not stirring the pot, opening the old wounds, or asking you to speak on something that's been discussed ad nauseum in the past, and I'm just late to the party. You know what? I don't think any old wounds will be open minded conversation. I stand by everything I've said. I definitely try to be empathetic and kind to the people involved in all this shit, because it's not my intent to go around misquoting people or, you know, trying to start shit where shit is done. And I don't have no ill will towards anybody else involved.
No, sir.
If nothing else, I have nothing but love for people. So, you know, I'm good, you know? Which is the story of my life. So if at a minimum, can you point me in the right direction where to find season 6? And if you are feeling generous, let that inquiry mind know what happened. Okay. I've gone on long enough. Love you guys. Hope this show goes on forever. And I'll attempt to tune in. Never try listening live Saturday morning, because I live in the DC area and I'm kicking myself for missing tickets to NegroCon. I can't wait to hear how you will be handing out those 2 extra tickets. Take care. Stay dope. Tiana B. Thank you, Tiana.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I got you, Tiana. I'm gonna handle that for you. How much time we got left? Okay. All right, cool. We got 2 more emails. D. Crosby says, hey, queen and king of TBGWT. It's Miss Danny, and I just want to say, send y'all some love and share a work story that came to my mind when Karen had that issue with her coworker. Which, by the way, fuck that lady. She can't talk to you any kind of way, Karen. If she has a problem, then she should come correct. So there's a resident maggots, MAGATS, at my job. It means maggots means make America great again Trump supporter. My friend made that up, and it's perfect identifier for them fools. Yeah, maggots. That's perfect. Well, she said disposable things about President Obama and proudly boasted about 45. She talked about how taking down racist statues is destroying history and so much more. I try my best not to drag her daily. She's also an emotional powder keg. She dumps all her problems on us and lashes out at everyone. Now, I've worked with her for a long time, 6 years. We both transferred to this job, so I know to just report to my supervisors to document everything. People at my job haven't known her as long as I have, 3 years, so they gave her the benefit of the doubt, but their patience has run thin. She doesn't work well with others, and we've all had enough. We pretty much have to walk on eggshells because we don't know what's going to set her off. So last week she caught herself going off on me for reasons that made sense and only in her head. And there was a representative from an outside company in our workplace. I kept my cool and handled myself professionally, and our manager was a witness to the tiff. Well, little Miss Maggots decided she was going to tell on me to our administrative supervisor that she's quitting and she's not happy. I said, okay, girl. She threatened to leave all the time, and I wish she would, but she's bluffing. I roll. Well, we had a meeting with everyone at the office, and administrator supervisor called Miss Make America Great Again Trump supporter to the carpet and pretty much put sis on notice that HR has been notified of her behavior and the hostile work environment she created. She also being moved away from me, and I can work in peace. Swear for Lord, the celebration played in my heart, and I resisted the urge to smile and dance like Baby Groot. Ha! I waited till lunch break to do that, LOL. Okay, y'all, that's it. Love always, Miss Danny. Hey, I'm happy for your victory.
Me too. One victory at a time.
One at a time. Last one, Morgan writes in. Hey, Ryder, Karen, this email may be too late for this week's feedback. Nope, it's right on time, boo. But I just caught up on episode 1451. I had to comment on the story about the teacher fired from St. Ignatius for being gay. I graduated from St. Ignatius in 2007. This is not the first time a teacher has been run out for being gay. When I attended, we had an amazing teacher who was put on indefinite leave after students started a rumor that he was gay and had AIDS. That same year, we had a white male teacher who was accused of sexual harassment by a female student and went unpunished because he was too beloved to fire. Wow. Of course. We had one openly gay student who was clearly targeted by the staff because of how he dressed. In my senior year, a group of white students actively campaigned for the African American history course to be removed as an elective, and we had to fight tooth and nail to keep it. Yo, that's another thing. How many people fit the same Venn diagram of, I want African American history not taught in schools, but don't you throw away them conservative monuments? I swear that circle look like two, just a circle. It's like one big ass circle. Anyway, okay. Atheists and other non-Catholic students were attacked for not being in communion in mass, not taking communion in mass. The statement about Ignatius being tolerant and inclusive was 100% false. Rather, it is a culture where you know you can be expelled or dismissed if you step one toe over the line. You guys hit the nail on the head with your comments about the school and the students. Love the show. Keep doing big things. We shall. And thank you. We appreciate you. That's everybody today, guys. Mm-hmm. We'll be back, well, for premium people, we'll be back in like an hour and a half. Yeah. For everybody else, we're back tomorrow. So, and Tuesday, I guess, should be Nick Jew. Woo! Yep. We might take a day off for Memorial Day, as well. So we'll let you guys know. Until then, I love you.
I do too. Mwah.